Good. When they come in and say, I heard you on the radio, I know it's Blue Water, and I love Blue Water.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Selma police are investigating after an apparent shootout in downtown Selma left a nightclub security guard injured. This shooting happened outside of Club Entourage. Anyone with information about the shooting is asked to call Selma police. A teenager has been identified as the victim of the city's latest homicide. Montgomery police say 17-year-old Jadavion Smith was shot and killed Saturday night. So far, no arrests have been made. And Governor Kay Ivey issued an executive order placing a temporary moratorium on early parole hearings after growing concerns about violent criminals getting early parole. She also designated Lynn Head as chairman of the Board of Pardons and Paroles. The board now has 30 days to create a corrective action plan. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Did you know carbon monoxide is odorless and invisible? Help ensure your family is protected from the dangers of carbon monoxide. CO alarms should be installed on every level and in every bedroom. And remember, alarms don't last forever, and it's important to replace them every 5 to 10 years. First Alert has been protecting homes and families since 1958 and encourages you to learn more about whole home safety at firstalert.com and visit Lowe's Home Improvement Stores to purchase carbon monoxide alarms today.
My heart keeps skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. It can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry. 395-6695. He will make your smile.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Basements flood, security systems quit. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Last year alone, 41 million people lost power for an average of 5 days. And with severe storms becoming a common occurrence, it's only going to get worse. So how can you take back control? A Generac home standby generator protects your home against power outages every second of every day, all year long, ready to automatically supply power to your home within seconds of an outage, whether your home or away. And because it runs on either natural gas or LP, you won't have to wait in line to buy gasoline ever. Control your power, control your life with a Generac home standby generator.
With affordable financing options available, now's the perfect time for Mr. Electric to install an automatic standby generator in your home. And remember, Mr. Electric provides maintenance for backup generators too. For more information, call Mr. Electric of Montgomery today.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Saudi Arabia is preparing to acknowledge that Jamal Khashoggi was killed during a botched interrogation. They will further claim Khashoggi's interrogation was only supposed to lead to his abduction from Turkey, and that those involved will be held responsible.
The president flew to the Florida Panhandle to see for himself the devastation from Hurricane Michael.
Brutal cold sweeping across the country, early signs of winter, snow on the highway causing accidents in Geneva, Nebraska.
Senator Elizabeth Warren releasing DNA test results to back up her claims of Native American heritage.
From St. Louis, a confrontation caught on video, a white woman blocking a black tenant from entering their apartment building, demanding proof that he lives there.
I want to know that you're going to see.
Just follow me all the way to my door.
Once one of the nation's largest retailers, Sears has filed for bankruptcy. It's the end of an era.
Nearly $1 billion up for grabs. The Mega Millions and Powerball jackpots. Mega Millions, $654 million, the second highest jackpot.
Struck him out looking. Milwaukee wins it 4-0.
The last time the Dodgers were shut out at home in the postseason, the 83 NLCS.
I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love, and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
83 degrees outside. Stock market is up 393 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How you doing today, big guy?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm running a little late, a little crazy out there today. Man. Yeah, stock market is up. Weather's going to start cooling down. Life is good. But you know, when you get down to the third weekend in October, do you know what that normally means? Alabama plays Tennessee the third weekend of October all the time. But then something else happens. You get a visit by Ken Reynolds. And he comes into the studio and he tells us about the wine tasting that's going to be happening on Saturday. Let me bring in my good friend and good friend of the show, Ken Reynolds. Ken, it's always good to see you.
Always great to be here.
Okay, so it's the third weekend in October.
It is the third weekend in October, and it is the 9th annual Riverwalk Wine Festival. Ooh. Hard to believe that we've been doing this for 9 years now, and it just keeps getting bigger and better and a whole lot more fun every year.
I like that. Okay, tell the folks about the wine tasting, how you do it, and who all is going to be there.
Well, basically what we'll do is when you come in through the tunnel there at Riverfront Park, we're going to have someone who will check your ID, and they will give you a wristband, and then once you get your wristband, you can come down into the tunnel and come to the festival tent, and there you will get a 2-bottle wine bag provided by the gracious folks at Wind Creek, and it will also include a wine glass etched with the event logo.
Which are always really great looking.
Absolutely.
I love those things.
And those are this year being provided by the good folks out at Montgomery Subaru. And then, of course, the Renaissance Hotel is once again baking us those fabulous baguettes of bread will also be in the bag. So you're set up to go. You've got your wine bag, you've got your glass, you've got your bread, and then spread out before you on the riverfront, you will see an array of tents, and under those tents you will have 86 different wines to sample.
That is outstanding. And the great thing, let me tell you something, folks, this is a very inexpensive way to find some really good wines.
Absolutely. With that many wines and with the distributors that are coming in, all of the distributors in Alabama are once again participating this year, along with a number of Alabama wineries. And we'll have, as I said, about 86 wines to sample. So whether you are a connoisseur looking for your next great bottle, or you're that novice that's just trying to figure out exactly where your palate is and what you want to try, I think we're going to have something at the riverfront on Saturday that will please pretty much anybody and everybody.
Now, should someone bring a notepad or something to take notes on the wines, or can you add that to the roster?
Well, actually, what you're also going to get, we'll have there in the festival table, you can pick up a list of every wine that's going to be poured, because those wines will also be available for purchase at the festival at a special festival price. So this sheet that we're going to give you that's got a list of all the wines, it will have the pricing of those wines on it. It'll have a place for you to write your notes. We'll also have pens for you to pick up there at the table as well, so that you can do that. So everything will be all-inclusive and right there for you.
I like that. Now, my audience knows how big of a wine drinker I am, and I'm telling you, folks, this is a very inexpensive way to find some really good wines. You go through and say you're looking for a good Cabernet, just take some notes, and when you find that one, look at the price on it and see if it's in your price point, and then you can see either buy it at the festival, or maybe you can pick it up later on. There were also some of the vineyards were doing, some of the shops were doing discount for cases. Are they doing that again this year?
Yes.
Good. Okay, how much are tickets?
Tickets are only $30, a terrific value. They're available at Dirk's Filet and Vine on Cloverdale Road if you want to pick them up in person. You can also come by our office at 200 Coosa Street. They're in the Riverwalk Stadium. You can get them over the phone at our offices at 334-625-2100. And, of course, you can get them at the best website in Montgomery, which is www.funinmontgomery.com.
I like that, man. You're always loaded with information. Let's go to our good friend, Ken Mullinex. Hey, Ken, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you, Dan, and hello, Ken. How are you, my friend?
Ken, I'm doing well. When are you going to come see us at the wine shop again?
He's not there like every day?
That's what I wanted to say, Dan. I'm just a poor little old boy from Chocolata, Alabama. And I don't know anything about wines other than what Robert Parker Jr. writes about and your guest Ken tells me about. And he doesn't steer me wrong. I go in and say, I want something for this dish or that dish. I want a sweet German wine, or I'd like something that's a little sophisticated from here or there. And he's never steered me wrong. And he's not steering your listeners wrong about this event this weekend. $30 is a cheap price to pay to learn exactly what's out there and what to get. I'll be there. I'll be bringing my unsophisticated palate
and your charm and, you know, and your charm and personality too. Now,
I'm just an old whiskey drinker like Morris there, but I do appreciate a wine. You know, And one of the reasons I appreciate it is because when you use it in moderation, it can be a health benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot better than prescriptions that are filled from CVS into taking care of your heart and making sure other things are done right in moderation. So I like the taste. I like the health benefits, and I sure like the way it feels. So I'm going to be with you, and I just wanted everybody to know Ken's just not another pretty voice on the radio. He is a real authority on wine.
He really
We're
is.
Lucky to have you around here very much. And thank you, Dan, as always. You always put some good folks on here. And we appreciate it, even old moderates like me.
My favorite Democrat right here.
Well, Ken, thank you very much for that. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. And you'll be able to find me in the crowd. I'll be the cat in the hat.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Ken. See you Saturday, buddy boy.
Great talking to you again, Ken. What time do the doors open?
3 o'clock is when we're actually going to start the tasting. Now, if you want to come down a little early and enjoy the ambiance of the riverfront, you can certainly do so. We'll be down there all day setting up.
And you're going to have a big screen TV again?
Absolutely. The folks from Keith Satellite are going to come in once again with the Dish Network. So all of you folks that are interested in keeping up with the Alabama-Tennessee score and not letting it slow down your wine drinking, we can certainly accommodate you there. So we'll have the big screen TV set up so that everybody can actually keep up with the score.
So doors open at 3. How long does it last?
6 o'clock.
To 6 o'clock.
And then also we're going to do the wine festival cruise on the Harriet 2.
Man, you took the words right out of my mouth.
So if you have a wine festival ticket for a nominal fee of only $10 more, you can get a 2-hour fun-filled cruise on the Harriet 2 on the scenic Alabama River. That will include concession food, adult beverages, and live music.
Now, on Saturday, the weather report is 75 degrees is going to be the high, 50 is going to be the low. We'll have a little cloud overcast, so that's perfect, actually.
Absolutely. And, there are different models out there that are showing different percentages of rain. And one of the nice things about being downtown and doing events in the city of Montgomery is that we have the opportunity to do things down on the riverfront. But should Mother Nature decide that we should not do something on the riverfront, this event will go on as scheduled underneath the historic Union Station train shed.
Underneath this train shed. I don't think. Ken, I want to thank you for coming by today. Maybe we need to have you back in later on this week. Would you be open to that?
I would love to do that. And I also want to say something real quick to the folks. If you're planning on coming and bringing a designated driver, that designated driver gets into the event absolutely free. They don't need a ticket. You only need a ticket if you're actually going to be sampling. So we want everybody to have a great time and be responsible. We are a kid-friendly, pet-friendly, and designated driver-friendly.
So what you're going to do is put a special bracelet on them that gets them in but doesn't give them any wine.
Actually, what will happen is because you're going to get that wine glass that's in the bag,
mm-hmm.
When you get ID'd at the gate and turn in your ticket so that we know that you are, in fact, old enough to consume the wines that we're offering, you will get a wristband.
Great.
So our distributors will only pour into our glasses to folks who are actually wearing one of our wristbands.
What if someone doesn't have an ID and does not intend to drink?
Then they won't have a wristband. They won't be poured for, but they're welcome to come down. They can enjoy the food vendors. They can enjoy the riverfront. They can enjoy the live music from Wyatt Edmondson and everything else.
Wyatt is going to be there?
Wyatt's going to be there.
That is great. One of my favorites. His dad and I know each other really well. All of us go to church together. Ken, really appreciate you coming by. Give them the where to find tickets again.
Tickets are available at Filet and Vine in Cloverdale. They're available online at funinmontgomery.com. You can also purchase them over the phone at our offices at 334-625-2100, or you can come down and see us at Riverwalk Stadium at 200 Coosa Street.
Ken, I really appreciate you. You have a good one. We're going to be back. We have Dr. David Sorensen on, our Middle East expert. Got a lot of information to cover with him. Going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
The
biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
I got David Little in the house from Tucker Pecan. Football season right here. You got everything ready to go?
Yeah, Bubba, we've got everything you need to tailgate, to throw a party, to just give a friend or a family member of Alabama and Auburn. We've got it at Tucker Pecan. We've got great jewelry. We've got great totes. We've got the clear purses you need to go to games. We've got all that at Tucker Pecan. Plus, if you need to just throw a big party, we've got the best dips and sauces you will find anywhere to make your party a success. And if that's not what you need and you need something else at Tucker Pecan, we've got the finest and freshest candies and pecans you will find anywhere. We have those made fresh daily. You know, Bubba, Christmas is not too far around the corner, and Thanksgiving. If you need some gifts for your friends and families, we've got those at Tucker Pecan Company.
Don't forget about the pecan pies either. Tell them where you're located.
We are located at 350 North McDonough Street in downtown Montgomery. You can check us out on the web at tuckerpecan.com or call us at 262-4470 or like us on Facebook.
Live, local talk, the River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I want to thank Ken Reynolds for dropping in, sharing that information. This is a great event. I have not missed a one of them. 272-9228, that's where we are. Let's bring in our good friend, Dr. David Sorensen, our Middle East expert here. Dr. Sorensen, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
I really appreciate you calling in. I'm sorry we're running a little late. Let me play a portion of a piece for you to give you the latest update here.
What we're seeing at the moment is two very different tracks. We're seeing the investigation here in Turkey, which is going on in the consulate behind me, and then we're seeing the diplomatic push, which is highlighted by Secretary Pompeo's trip to Saudi Arabia, and that is the one that is growing in speed very quickly. There is a real sense now that both Turkey and Saudi Arabia, as well as the U.S., are seeking to find a way forward through this without causing too much disruption. Secretary Pompeo arrived and was met in Riyadh by the Saudi Foreign Minister Jubair, and he then had a meeting with King Salman. After that, he met with the powerful Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Now, Secretary Pompeo thanked both of them for their commitment to supporting a thorough, transparent and timely investigation of Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance. And then they had a private meeting, and no doubt there would have been some tough talking there because they do all want to find a way through this. Now, there was a breakthrough yesterday when there were reports suggesting Saudi Arabia was going to accept responsibility for the murder of Khashoggi in the consulate behind me. They were going to say it was an interrogation gone wrong, carried out by rogue agents with no responsibility for Mohammed bin Salman or King Salman. We haven't heard those reports yet, but that apparently is what may be worked out in the coming hours, if not days. Bill?
What about new developments with the investigation in Istanbul, Ben?
Bill, just in the last 20 minutes, we're receiving reports from AP that suggest Turkish authorities are saying they now have evidence from inside the consulate after they carried out that search that Khashoggi was indeed murdered inside there. And that investigation came 13 days after Khashoggi went missing. The Turks had long been requesting access to the consulate. It began late at night yesterday. It went on for about 4.5 hours, or rather 9 hours, till about 4:30 in the morning. And it does indicate that there was a really extensive search going on. Turkish authorities, remember, have always said they knew exactly where Khashoggi was killed in the building. And from what journalists could see outside, there were UV lights in some of the rooms upstairs, indicating it was a search perhaps not just for items, but also for blood, also for DNA. And then later on in the morning, investigators took away several loads of bricks and debris. And next, they're going to search the consulate's residence. But there is this real sense now that the diplomatic push is the one taking over. And so we have Secretary of State Pompeo in Saudi Arabia. And whether or not there's an agreement reached between Saudi Arabia and Turkey that may reach to some kind of an admission by Saudi Arabia.
Dr. Sorensen, a lot of information in that one. Number one, that they have found evidence that he was killed in the consulate. How big is that?
It's very big. Turkey watches everything, and like a lot of countries, it does have the capacity to see and listen inside of a consulate, even though technically consulates are sovereign property of the country that they represent. The second interesting piece is that Turkey observed a cleaning crew going in with lots of chemicals, and when they went in to inspect the consulate, the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul, they said the smell of chemicals was very strong. That makes me think that they were in there cleaning up blood and other things left over from what could have been not only a murder, but dismemberment of Khashoggi's body. So I think that Turkey has some pretty good evidence that that Jamal Khashoggi was, in fact, murdered inside the consulate, despite the denials.
Well, one of the things we talked about last time we had a discussion on this is that they were going to come up with a fall guy for this, a rogue-type person. It seems that is something that they're putting out there. Is that possible to happen?
Well, I suppose anything is possible, but it is highly unlikely that an attempt to either kidnap Khashoggi or to assassinate him was done without the approval and authorization of the Crown Prince, if not the King himself. Saudi Arabia screens its agents very, very carefully. We know that two planes with a total of 15 Saudi citizens, many of them were special forces, they were not interrogators, left Saudi Arabia, arrived in Istanbul about the same time that Khashoggi did. These folks are professionals. I've met some of them when I've been to Saudi Arabia. The chances that this would have simply been a botched interrogation gone wrong, I just don't find that at all plausible, given how carefully Saudi Arabia screens the top folks in their intelligence. I've been in the intelligence ministry. I've talked to a lot of the people there. They're very well trained. They're very professional. Again, that they would disobey orders or simply go crazy in a bad interrogation, I'm just not persuaded.
Okay, so let's look at accountability, because this thing looks like it's a train wreck about to happen. You think, is it possible that the king did not know, but the crown prince did?
Well, there are reports that the king may suffer from Alzheimer's, may not remember things. I've heard differing reports. I met the king a long, long time ago, back in 89. He's a very sharp individual. That's possible, but unlikely. But did the crown prince, who's, again, probably the most powerful person in Saudi Arabia now, not know? I just don't find that at all credible.
Let me play for you a clip that Lindsey Graham did this morning on Fox and Friends.
Saudi Arabia, the Secretary of State is heading over there now to try to get some answers about what happened to the Saudi embassy inside Turkey. You know what happened. Who's to blame?
Well, I know this. Nothing happens in Saudi Arabia without MBS knowing it.
Who's MBS?
He's the 33-year-old crown prince who jumped over other people. He's the son of the existing king, and I think he's on a bad track. I can never do business with Saudi Arabia again until we get this behind us.
Right. And what does that mean?
That means I'm not going back to Saudi Arabia as long as this guy's in charge.
So you're telling the crown prince has to leave?
It's up to them, but I'm not going back. I've been their biggest defender on the floor of the United States Senate. This guy is a wrecking ball. He had this guy murdered in a consulate in Turkey, and to expect me to ignore it, I feel used and abused. I was on the floor every time defending Saudi Arabia because there's a good ally. There's a difference between a country and an individual. The right. MBS figure is, to me, toxic. He can never be a world leader on the world stage.
So what does the president do? Sanctions?
It's up to the president, but what I would do, I know what I'm going to do. We're going to sanction the hell out of Saudi Arabia. You know, we deal with bad people all the time, but this is in our face. I feel personally offended. They have nothing but contempt for us. Why would you put a guy like me and the president in this box after all the president has done? This guy's got to go. Saudi Arabia, if you're listening, there are a lot of good people you can choose, but MBS has tainted your country and tainted himself.
Like who? Who to replace him?
That's up to them. It's not my job.
But there's another crown prince there.
There are a bunch of them.
Dr. Sorensen, is that a possibility that this could be so heinous that he does have to step down?
He could. The crown prince has alienated an awful lot of people in the royal family, including many of his half-brothers, one of whom was actually designated as the crown prince before King Salman moved him out of the way and moved in his own son. So there are many, many half-brothers who would very much like to be the crown prince, and it may be that either King Salman or the almost invisible group of counselors around him, the Shura Council may decide that at this point, Mohammed bin Salman has simply gone too far. This is one of a long list of crises that he has created for the kingdom. He's involved Saudi Arabia in a brutal war in Yemen against some Shia rebels who were supported by Iran. He led the embargo of Qatar, which is a fellow Gulf Cooperation Council member. He has made investments inside the kingdom that have failed. He has grandiose plans, which many outside experts really believe will simply lead to more failure. So I think that the list of mistakes that he has made, along with some of his liberalizing impacts as well, he has made favorable statements about Israel. That doesn't please the conservatives. He has allowed women to drive. That doesn't please the conservatives. So my sense is he has alienated both the very conservative clerics and other members of the family. I don't think it's impossible that King Salman may suddenly announce that we picked a new crown prince.
Dr. Sorensen, let me go to on a break here because I would like to continue with that particular part of the conversation. Dr. David Sorensen in the house, Middle East expert. We're talking about what's going on in Turkey, in Saudi Arabia, and the Crown Prince. We're going to be back right after this.
All right.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Live it all of your days in darkness, let the sun shine through.
Going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Perfect Pavers from Concrete by Design really updated this old patio. The natural travertine look gives us the old world feel we wanted. So easy to install and affordable.
Perfect Pavers from Concrete by Design can help your creativity shine with durable and versatile pavers. Made in the USA. Learn more about Perfect Pavers by visiting ConcreteByDesign.org. Concrete by Design on Facebook or give Bert Loeb a call at 657-1483.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There may be more proof a Saudi Arabian journalist was killed by a Saudi security team at a consulate in Turkey.
A high-ranking official tells the Associated Press that investigators found evidence showing that Jamal Khashoggi was killed there. Saudi Arabia rejects that claim, although it's reported the Saudis are considering changing their position, perhaps saying Khashoggi was killed during an interrogation that went wrong.
Fox's Simon Owen. President Trump and the former porn star Stormy Daniels are taking personal shots at each other on Twitter today after a court decision in his favor.
Stormy Daniels sued President Trump for defamation after he tweeted that her story of a man threatening her not to come forward with her story of her alleged affair with the president was a total con job. But a federal judge dismissed the case, ruling the tweet in question constitutes rhetorical hyperbole, and the First Amendment protects this type of rhetorical statement.
That's John Decker, and this is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, right now offering top pay of 45.5 cents per mile and quarterly and annual safe driving bonuses. Apply today at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Could see some spotty showers ahead of a frontal system today. Partly sunny with a high temperature in the mid-80s. Low tonight, well, turning cooler. Overnight low 64. Tomorrow's high around 76. That's nice. Slight chance for a leftover shower. Partial sunshine. Mid-50s Wednesday night. Then Thursday, a nice day. Lots of sun. High 77. We'll be in the mid to upper 70s on Friday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms on Saturday. That's ahead of the nicest front so far this fall. With beautiful air on Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Prime South Bank, where they have what it takes for you to live your best life, your prime life. Their service is as sunny as the forecast, and their fee-free checking accounts can chase away the clouds. Prime South Bank, with locations in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Let's go back to our good friend and Middle East expert, Dr. David Sorensen. Dr. Sorensen, let's go back to the possibilities here. So you're saying that it's realistic that the Crown Prince basically stepped down?
I think that's a possibility, yes. Again, add this latest event to a whole series of other things that he has done that have been controversial inside of Saudi Arabia as well as outside. So, yeah, I think it is a possibility. It's not a real high possibility, but I think there's a point where Saudi Arabia realizes they're not going to get away with simply switching stories and trying to claim that this was a rogue interrogation gone badly.
Because that you know, that just doesn't hold water from what I've learned from you and understanding how Saudi works. It's that just isn't plausible.
Right.
So, to me, that because this is a train wreck about to happen, that if he doesn't step down, then there's always going to be the Lindsey Grahams out there who are going to question Saudi Arabia. For example, you know, you've told us about Yemen, and we look at that bus that was blown up with 50 citizens on board. I mean, it seems that maybe Saudi Arabia did target that bus.
Yes. It may have been an errant airstrike, but to be real candid, Saudi Arabian pilots have not always been that careful about avoiding civilian damage. They may have been aiming for something else, but they did kill a whole lot of people. And that's one of many bombings in Yemen that Saudi Arabia has carried out that have caused some terrible civilian casualties in that very poor country.
Now, Pompeo is over there meeting with the royal family, the king and the crown prince. Do you think that he would have that kind of relationship with the king to say, you know, king, this is bad, and something has to be done. Someone has to pay a price for this.
I don't think so. I think, paradoxically, I think former Secretary Rex Tillerson would have had more influence of the king. He was head of Exxon. He knew Saudi Arabia very well. He knew the king. Secretary Pompeo is a former member of Congress. As far as I know, he has not had extensive dealings with Saudi Arabia, or for that matter, a lot of inside knowledge about the country that you really need to have in order to be able to sit down with the king and get something done. My sense is that the Saudi Arabians look at this as a kind of formality. The United States has to do it. They have to send the secretary over and say, you need to come clean. But I don't really think that Secretary Pompeo's visit is going to make a whole lot of difference. I think Lindsey Graham's comment may make more difference, actually.
Interesting. Let's talk about what they can do to us and what we can do to them. Isn't it a situation where they need us more than we need them?
It is. No.
And they're a key player in Middle East diplomacy for us, correct?
Well, they are and they aren't. They were before they badly strained Gulf Cooperation Council removed Qatar from it. Not actually literally, but the sanctions against Qatar have weakened Saudi Arabia's hand among the Sunni Arab countries. And also with the United States, there's been some real frowns about whether or not this was really a good idea, given that Qatar is a huge military base for the United States.
Right.
The other thing that's interesting is that we used to rely on Saudi Arabia for oil. The figures are interesting. 10 years ago, we imported 14,000 barrels of oil a day from Saudi Arabia. Today, that's down to 800,000. That's a very small amount. And most of it comes in to a single Saudi Arabian-run oil refinery in Louisiana. So we are almost independent from Saudi Arabia. And if Saudi Arabia were to decide to cut off that 800,000 barrels a day, we could ramp up production or buy it from someplace else fairly quickly. On the other hand, Saudi Arabia buys almost all of its weapons from the United States. They have possibly $100 billion of weapons on order. But what they have done is sign kind of letters of interest. That doesn't mean they're actually going to buy them. They are contracted now for about $8 billion of weapons. Now, the president has said that they could buy those weapons from Russia or China. That's not really correct. They are set up, trained, and maintained to operate American weapons. So if the United States were to say, okay, until the crown prince steps down, until you acknowledge what happened to Jamal Khashoggi, we're going to suspend those arms sales, I think that would put a lot of pressure on Saudi Arabia. They really don't want to buy weapons other than ours. They did buy British. Again, I met with the current king many years ago. He looked at me and said, we'd much rather buy American weapons. We don't really like the British weapons. We buy them just to send a message to the Americans that we want to buy your weapons. Stop putting these restrictions on them. So I think that if the United States were to say seriously, if Senator Graham were to say seriously, if you don't make good on this and acknowledge that Khashoggi was murdered, if there aren't serious repercussions to the people responsible for doing it, we will suspend arms sales. I think Saudi Arabia would have to respond. They will not turn to Russia or China. They really don't want to buy those weapons. The only Chinese weapons they bought were some long-range ballistic missiles they bought back in 1989. They realized they really aren't very good. And I think that's pretty much the end of the idea of buying Chinese or Russian weapons by Saudi Arabia.
Well, also it's a situation of compatibility, isn't it? That, I mean, if they're flying the F model aircraft and then trying to substitute that with the Chinese model, that doesn't that not work?
That does not work. Absolutely, it does not work. All of their pilots are trained in the United States. All of their maintenance facilities are really operated by American contractors to fix and modernize their F-15s. They're buying a new set of modern F-15s, F-16s. They operate a lot of American equipment. They operate American ground equipment, American tanks. Same thing with the American M1 tanks. Those are state-of-the-art tanks. They have no intention of buying Russian tanks, which really aren't as good, and they're just not set up to run them. They're not. They haven't trained for them. They haven't set up to maintain them. So, I think that there's very little chance that they will buy anybody's weapons other than weapons from the United States.
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
Well, one more thing. They've been very clever in spreading their defense contracts around the United States, and that's one limitation. They've got defense contracts in Montana and Arizona and St. Louis and Alabama and other places in congressional districts where they do create a few jobs. So there is some political support for selling Saudi Arabia weapons.
Did I understand you that the highest model that they go to in fighter is the F-17? They don't have the 20.
Go ahead. They have the best one they have is called the F-15S. S for Saudi Arabia. But it's not quite as good as what Americans fly, and they don't have the F-22. They're not going to get the F-35. But for their purposes, the F-15S is a very good airplane. It's very modern. They bought a lot of them. They're well maintained by American contractors, so it's a very capable airplane. It's as much as they need.
It's again seems to me that the answer, the solution to all the problems is the crown prince stepping down, because then he can say, I gave an unlawful command, so I'm at fault with that. The people who actually carried it out were doing it as a command for me. The king did not know about it, and boom, he's out.
That would be the easiest out for Saudi Arabia. I really don't think that Trump is blame this on a rogue agent is really going to work. It just lacks credibility. And I think that for Saudi Arabia, that's probably the best answer. If I were President Trump, I would say, look, it's not my country, it's your country, which he has said. But I would make a private communication to King Salman and say the easiest way out for all of us so we keep this firestorm from escalating is Crown Prince needs to step down, and you need to acknowledge what happened. You need to apologize. You need to compensate the family and appoint a new Crown Prince.
Who would we be substituting, a lesser of two evils, or do you get kind of the luck of the draw? Is there somebody in the wings waiting to come in?
Well, one of the interesting possibilities is Mohammed bin Nayef. Nayef was actually a crown prince himself. He was the Ministry of Interior. He's somewhat conservative, but his son Mohammed was initially the crown prince. He was kind of shoved out of the way in order to make room for Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. I think it's possible that Mohammed bin Nayef becomes the crown prince. Part of the reason is, and this gets kind of inside Saudi family, inside baseball, he is one of the grandsons of what was known as the Sudari Seven. The founding king's favorite wife was Bint Sudari. She gave him at least seven sons, two of whom have already been king. And to put Nayef back in would put back in a family that Mohammed bin Salman has marginalized. And I think it would end some of the discord that's going on within the Saudi royal family that Mohammed bin Salman has propagated.
Let's go back to what they could do that could harm us. Is it to their advantage to try to cut off oil, or is it the fact that the world could go somewhere else and they don't absolutely have to have Saudi oil? And if Saudi turns off the oil, doesn't that hurt their revenue stream and put them in dire straits?
Yeah, this is a gun that aims both ways. On the one hand, they could withhold oil, and that would drive oil prices way up. Oil prices are about $80 a barrel now. If they drive them up to $100 or $120 a barrel, that could slow down the American economy as well as the economy of all other countries that buy oil. It could ultimately spark a global recession, possibly. But Saudi Arabia needs the revenue. They have committed to billions, indeed half a trillion dollars of a new project involving this massive city up in the northern part of Saudi Arabia. They're hoping to bring in investors. In fact, next week they're going to have what they call Davos in the Desert, a big conference that brings in lots of international companies to plan for investment in Saudi Arabia. A lot of the donors, by the way, have now said, we're not coming, which is also going to hurt the Saudi Arabian economy. So, yes, Saudi Arabia could raise oil prices. They could withhold oil from the world market. They could hope that it causes a recession, but that's money that they don't have either, so it hurts them as well. I think it would be awfully foolish on their part to really tinker with the oil market, because the last time they did it, the world responded by conservation and alternative drilling. Oil became so expensive that it suddenly became worthwhile to drill for oil in the United States. And in fact, we can probably thank Saudi Arabia for our own increased oil production, because when they increased prices in 73 and then 79, they made oil suddenly worth drilling for again. So if they do it again, what that will do is open up more oil exploration in the United States. There's a lot of oil we still have that can be exploited. So I think in the long run, if they were to raise oil prices, they would really harm themselves, because it'll ultimately drive the United States to more self-sufficiency.
Dr. Sorensen, can you hang on through a short break?
Absolutely.
We're going to be back with Dr. David Sorensen, a Middle East expert, right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
To carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
At Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars, it's all about buying confidence and trust. For over 50 years, they've offered a great selection of the finest and best hand-picked cars in the area. These cars have passed a rigid multi-point inspection and are backed by proof pricing and the Jack Ingram Signature Car Stamp of Approval. What is proof pricing? That's Jack Ingram's best price, simple and clear, with true price comparisons from third-party leaders. And when it comes to saving you money, there's nothing better than seeing the proof. Choose from the largest selection of Nissan, Volkswagen, Volvo, Audi, and Porsche certified vehicles in our area, or shop hundreds of other pre-owned mates starting as low as $7,000. And if it doesn't fit in your garage or your spouse doesn't like it, you have 3 days to return it for a full refund. Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars has hundreds of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to fit your needs. And if by some small chance they don't have it, they will find it for you and deliver it to your driveway. Confidence and trust is a Jack Ingram Signature Used Car guarantee.
Come see me, Tip Thames, at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars on Eastern Boulevard, or shop online at jackingram.com.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
272-9228, that's where we are. Before we go back to Dr. David Sorensen, I want to thank Mr. Electric for being a part of this show. And the quality of this type of programming is thanks to people like Mr. Electric. And they want you to be safe at Mr. Electric. And if you have small kids, you need to have tamper-proof power strips and plugs in your home. Now, you can have somebody come in and take a look at it for Mr. Electric. They can go through and price what would happen if you changed everything to tamper-proof. And how do you do that? Well, you call them at 334-269-8886. 269-8886. Mr. Electric wants to keep you safe. Let me go back to Dr. Sorensen here. Dr. Sorensen, in looking at this again, let's talk about the role of Turkey in Saudi Arabia. Is Turkey trying to... How do those two get along? Let's start with that one.
They don't get along very well. They don't get along very well partly because Turkey decided to support the Muslim Brothers in places like Egypt, where Saudi Arabia regards the Muslim Brothers as close to heretics because they argue, as bad as a government might be, you cannot mobilize Islam to overturn a ruler. Better to have bad rulers than chaos. So that's one of the things. The other thing that they really disagree on is the role of Qatar. Saudi Arabia tried to lead Qatar out of the Gulf Cooperation Council. Qatar is a fellow Sunni Muslim country. When that happened, Qataris turned to Turkey. They've invested a lot of money in Turkey, trying to help the Turks pay down their debt, which is staggering. Turkey responded by sending troops into Qatar to protect it, presumably from Saudi Arabia. So these are two countries that really have disagreed on a lot over a long period of time. And in fact, I argued it really goes back to 1818 when Turkish troops went into what was then Arabia and destroyed the first Saudi kingdom. And the Saudis have not forgotten that. Memories are very, very long. So these two countries have had differences as fellow Sunni Muslim countries over a very long period of time, and this has only made it worse.
Is it possible? You said Turkey keeps an eye on everything. So was this kind of a payback of Turkey to Saudi Arabia? Yeah, 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 we know something about you and get you in trouble?
Well, I think it partly was, but I think, you know, something, the Turks watch that embassy every day. I cannot tell you how closely Turkey monitors life on the streets, inside embassies, everywhere else. I was in Turkey once, and somebody with me foolishly took a picture of the Iranian consulate in Istanbul, and I got to tell you, the cops showed up out of nowhere. They were watching very, very carefully. So they know what goes on outside the consulate. They know what goes on inside. There are ways you can listen. And I think that once they realized that Khashoggi was not coming back out, they were monitoring very carefully. I think, yes, they certainly used this to pay Saudi Arabia to hit them in the eye. But I also think that they've got pretty good evidence that something did happen. He did not come out.
What What would other Arab nations think about the Crown Prince stepping down?
I think they would welcome it. I think some of them would be very private about it. They won't say anything because there's kind of a mutual non-interference in domestic affairs proviso within many Arab countries. But I think that a lot of countries believe that the Crown Prince is engaged in highly risky behavior, dangerous behavior to some degree. He's done some awfully bizarre things. I think I mentioned last time he actually detained the Prime Minister of Lebanon, a sovereign country, in Riyadh for more than a week, trying to get him to step down because he didn't think he was doing enough against Hezbollah. And only the intervention of the French president persuaded them to let the Prime Minister Saad Hariri go. It was a bizarre interference in the affairs of a sovereign country. And I think many Arab countries are looking at Mohammed bin Salman and thinking this guy's 33-year-old. He's got too much power. He's not mature enough. He takes incredible risk. It's time for him to go. So I think privately, lots of countries, including countries friendly to Saudi Arabia, like the United Arab Emirates, would quietly say, thank goodness, let's get him out of there.
That's interesting. And it seems that he seems to be dealing more on interior issues with Saudi Arabia than foreign policy issues.
Well, he's done both. I mean, he's trying very hard, I don't think correctly, to get Saudi Arabia weaned off of an economy based on petroleum sales. The problem is that United Arab Emirates have done this very smartly. Saudi Arabia has not really done a very good job. A couple of years ago, they opened up the so-called King Faisal Financial Center in Riyadh. They spent billions and billions of dollars on new buildings. Every one of those buildings is empty. But he's also, again, he's involved Saudi Arabian forces in Yemen. He has meddled in other parts of the Arabian Peninsula, like Qatar. So in many ways, I think he has dramatically overstepped his capacity without a real sense of the risk that he's taking.
The final question is Israel. What do you think Israel thinks about this and thinks about the Crown Prince? And was there an impact moving our embassy to Jerusalem?
Actually, it's interesting that when the embassy moved, there was a lot of warning that this would destabilize a lot of the American relations with Arab countries, and that really didn't happen. There was some kind of, gee, you shouldn't have done that. Most Arab countries have sort of given up on the Palestinians who live in the occupied territory. So it didn't really have much of an impact. What has had an impact is Mohammed bin Salman saying, well, Israel has a right to exist. Now, that sounds obvious, but that is the first time any leader from Saudi Arabia has said anything close to that. Now, part of that's convenience, because Saudi Arabia and Israel have a common enemy in Iran. But nevertheless, to say that Israel has a right to exist when the narrative in all Arab countries is that Israel took land from Muslims, that was a revolutionary statement. So my sense is that the Israelis may be watching this with some real concern, because I think on the one hand, they appreciated what Mohammed bin Salman said about their right to exist. On the other hand, they've got to be a little bit nervous about what he has done in neighboring Lebanon. If he engages in Lebanese politics again and destabilizes